First of Kings, chapter 22. This is a really interesting chapter because it gives us a kind of a peek into what goes on in heaven, a little look into how God decides things. There continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel, and in the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the 10 tribes were wicked and sinful, and the king of Judah wasn't really wise to get involved with the king of Israel. The king of Israel said to his servants, "You know that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, and we're sitting still, and don't take it out of the hand of the king of Syria." He said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are. My people as your people, my horses as your horses." Well, that's not wise to join with those who are sinning, even if they claim to be amongst the people of God, because as Paul says, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire first for the word of Yahweh." The king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle or not?" They said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Isn't there here a prophet of Yahweh that we may inquire of him?" The king of Israel, this is Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "There is one man by whom we may inquire of Yahweh, Micaiah, but I hate him, for he doesn't ever prophesy good about me, but evil." Jehoshaphat said, "Don't let the king say so." Well, isn't this typical that we want to listen to what we want to hear? And so if somebody speaks the word of God and it's not what people want to hear, they'll say, "Yeah, I don't want to listen to that because I don't want to be criticized." Especially these days, we live in a world where people say, "Oh, do you know what? You hurt my feelings. You don't know how much you hurt me by what you said." And yet God's word is God's word. And so this king of Israel says, "Oh, yeah, there's a prophet of Yahweh, but I don't like him because he only says bad things about me. I don't want to listen to him." But if you want to listen to the word of God, you've got to listen to it. The king of Israel called an officer and said, "Quickly get Micaiah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes, in an open place at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. These are the false prophets, the prophets of Baal. Zedekiah, he's one of the false prophets. He made him horns of iron, and he said, "Thus says Yahweh, with these you will push the Syrians until they are consumed." And all the prophets prophesied, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. Yahweh will give it into the hand of the king." So it was pretty hard for Micaiah to stand there alone with 400 men, saying, "Yeah, God is saying, go up and fight at Ramoth-Gilead." So the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, "Look, all the prophets declare good to the king with one mouth. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak good." Micaiah said, "As Yahweh lives, what Yahweh says to me, that I will speak." So you can see how people's mentality hasn't changed. It's messenger says to the prophet of God, "Oh, go on, make sure you speak something nice." You can just imagine it happening. But God's word is God's word, and we can't change it. When he'd come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" He said, "Go up and prosper. Yahweh will deliver it into the hand of the king." The king said to him, "How many times do I have to adjure you that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of Yahweh?" He said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd." Yahweh said, "These have no master. Let them each return to his house in peace." The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you that he would not prophesy good about me but evil?" So you can see the problem, can't you? That first of all, Micaiah just caves in. There's these 400 prophets saying, "Yeah, God says, go and fight the Syrians." And they said, "No, you know, go on, say the right thing, say what everyone wants us to hear." And they say to him, "You know, go on, make sure you speak good." And he does. He caves in. But then, fortunately, he says the truth. Micaiah said, "Hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne and all the army of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left." So this is a vision of heaven itself, of God himself sitting on his throne. So God is a person, and he has the angels on his right and on his left. And Yahweh said, "Who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?" One said one thing and another said another. So God states his will. I want Ahab to die at Ramoth-Gilead. How are you going to do it, angels? They all got different ideas. And a spirit, that's an angel, God makes his angels spirits, a spirit came out and stood before Yahweh and said, "I will entice him." Yahweh said to him, "How?" He said, "I will go out and I will put a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." Yahweh said, "You will entice him and you'll succeed. Go out and do so." Now therefore, behold, Yahweh has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and Yahweh has spoken evil about you. So we are going to be made like the angels, Jesus says, to die no more. And so the angels don't know absolutely everything. They can't sin, but they are not all powerful, because Jesus says nobody knows the exact date when he's going to return, not the Son nor the angels. So can you imagine how it may be in the future that God says to us, "Well, I want this to happen." And we're all allowed to have our different ideas. And then he chooses one of our ideas and says, "Okay, you. Yep, that's it. I'll give you the power. You go and do it." So this angel had the idea to make Ahab's prophets lie to him. So Micaiah explains why those prophets are lying. Then Zedekiah, one of the false prophets, came near and hit Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way did the Spirit of Yahweh go from me to speak to you?" Micaiah said, "You'll see on the day when you run into an inner room to hide yourself." The king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah, take him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and say, 'Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison. Feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come back in peace.'" Micaiah said, "If you return at all in peace, Yahweh has not spoken by me. Listen, all you people." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Now we know in advance that Ahab is going to die there. The king of Israel, Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "I'll disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your kingly robes." The king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Now, of course, the Syrians wanted to kill the king of the enemy. So this was really awful of Ahab to say to Jehoshaphat, "Well, you dress up as you are, as a king, and I'll just appear to be an ordinary soldier." Because, of course, they were all going to try and kill King Jehoshaphat. So this is what a bad friend does. And life is full of bad friends. And Jehoshaphat should never have gotten involved with the king of Israel. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, "Fight neither with small nor great, only with the king of Israel." When the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, "Surely this is the king of Israel." And they turned to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. When the captains of the chariots saw that it wasn't the king of Israel, then they stopped pursuing him. So Jehoshaphat very nearly lost his life by his bad friendship with a bad man. Don't get in with bad friends. This is how people turn to drugs. It's how people do all sorts of bad things, because they get in with bad people. But a certain man, this is one of the Syrian soldiers, drew his bow at random and fired his arrow, and the arrow struck the king of Israel between the joints of the armor. So there was just a little gap where bits of his armor were connected to each other. And this arrowhead went right in there. He said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn your hand and carry me out of the battle, for I am severely wounded." The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians and died at evening. The blood ran out of the wound into the bottom of the chariot. So Ahab thought he could disguise himself and not be seen, but you can't hide from God, can you? And there's no such thing as chance in our lives. That arrow that some soldier just fired at random came right down and into a little gap that he had between his pieces of armor and went into him and killed him. So all his scheming of this bad friend of Jehoshaphat didn't work out. So the king died and was brought to Samaria. They washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria. The dogs licked up his blood, according to the word of Yahweh which he spoke. The rest of the acts of Ahab, and all he did in the ivory house which he built, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his place. Jehoshaphat son of Asa began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab. Jehoshaphat was 35 when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah. He walked in all the way of Asa his father. He didn't turn aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. So God's overall judgment of Jehoshaphat is that he did what was right overall. And yet, as we've just seen, he was most unwise, to put it mildly. And God saved his life by grace. And in the Chronicles record, it says that when he came back from this battle, one of the prophets of God really told him off and told him he'd sinned really badly. So God doesn't look so much at specific acts of righteousness nor of sin, but at the overall direction of a person's life. And so if in our hearts we really love God, we really want to go his way, but we fail at times, as Jehoshaphat did, well, God sees overall the direction of our lives.